This is Stephen Strang. Donald Trump and the impeachment is worldwide news. Today on the Strang Report, I'm talking to a successful businessman, an astute observer of what's happening in the world. His name is Martin Clark, and we're going to get the view from across the pond on what's happening in America, and you'll be interested in what he predicts is going to happen about Donald Trump.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Martin Clark, you have a very different perspective than most of my listeners because you watch what's going on in America from London, England, and you often write for our website. In fact, you're our favorite British author, and you sent through something that I just thought was so insightful about Donald Trump and the impeachment. You called it "Don't Kick a Man When He's Up," and I just wanted to get your perspective. How do you see things from London about what's happening with President Donald Trump, the opposition to him, and especially the impeachment vote that just happened a few days ago?
Well, to be honest, Steve, you know, the situation in America now must be the best I've ever seen it in the whole of my life. The stock market is an historic high. Interest rates are an historic low. There's full employment. America's high profile on the world stage. When Donald Trump became president, he really put the focus light on America, and his mantra to make America great again has been fulfilled. What I don't understand is the man is so successful, why are they kicking him? And they're kicking him because, as we know, humanity is frail. We have an expression in Britain, humanity sucks. But there's such jealousy about the man. And the impeachment that we saw last night, and it happened here about 2:02 a.m. in the morning, started actually on the first day of his inauguration when the Washington Post headline that day was "The Campaign to Impeach Trump Has Begun." So this has been a witch hunt. This has been a vindictive witch hunt, a political witch hunt. And actually, it's a crying shame for America for them to wash their dirty linen in public. And I think that the only failing in America is that they are rushed to do that. The Democrats should be ashamed of themselves, and I think that their motive is out of the fact that they don't have a leader. When you presented the Modern English Version Bible at the Royal Chapel in Windsor, we had a celebration tea, did we not, at the Ritz Hotel, and then I said that Trump was likely to be president because he was saying what people thought, and he became president. Most of what he said he's actually achieved. Okay, the wall in Mexico has not been built. The trade agreement with Mexico and Canada, I think, is going through today. He's reached in principle trade agreement with China, and he's really taken the trade issues by the horns and settled a lot. He's been unpopular, but one thing he has also done is raise the public interest in politics, and he has drained the swamp, which is what he did, and this is what he's done, and this is why that he's being impeached. But, of course, the impeachment will not be successful because it will fail in the Senate, would it not?
You're absolutely right. And I've always been so impressed on how familiar you are with things in the United States. I remember those conversations we had in London, and you were very strong for the fact you thought he would be elected. I was just beginning to warm up to the idea. And of course, I became a very strong supporter of Trump and have since written 3 books about it. But you have always been a very wise observer of things. And you know, even recently, we quoted you on our Charisma News Service about Brexit and about this very historic vote that your country had, too, where it looked like there was just a malaise and nothing getting done. And then all of a sudden, Boris Johnson gets this huge election. And there are some who see parallels between Donald Trump and Boris, even though they're very different. And of course, their situations are very different. What do you think is happening politically where things seem to be moving somewhat more toward the right?
Well, the immediate parallel, obviously, with Trump and Johnson is that neither Trump nor Johnson have an opposition leader. The weakness of the opposition Labour Party was the fact that Corbyn was their leader and people completely turned against him. The populace, the working class majority in the North, completely turned against Corbyn because they could not see any content in his character. in America, you've got, I think the lady's called Pocahontas, but her nickname is...
It's Elizabeth Warren, but Nancy Pelosi is the one right now in the House of Representatives who's so strong. And you're right. They're not good leaders at all. Of all of the candidates that are running, none of them have really emerged in the way that Donald Trump emerged as a front runner pretty quickly. So your observations, I think, are spot on.
I think Donald Trump will undoubtedly win the election in 2020. I mean, there's no opposition. And, you know, America would be crazy to get rid of Donald Trump. And I mean that. And the Chinese, you know, because I spend a lot of time in China, as you know, Steve, and business there and what have you. China respects America. They actually look up to America. They want to copy America. And therefore, America embraced China, and China and America, two of the greatest economies in the world, will be doing business together, and quite rightly so. And Trump's read that perfectly well. He's a businessman. And he's read the Chinese perfectly well, and they're about to sign this massive trade agreement, which will be good for both China and America.
I think you're right. In my recent book that I wrote, and this is not to plug my new book, but I have a chapter called Promises Made, Promises Kept, and it's quite remarkable that when he promised things, he really has followed through, and even the wall, which his critics like to point out, hasn't been built. There have been sections that have been built. He got the Mexicans to cooperate to try to stop the people before they get across the wall, because once they get through for any reason whatsoever, our laws provide loopholes that the leftist attorneys tell them how to use our system against us to be able to stay. And every country has to be able to protect its borders or it ceases to be a country. And of course, that's an entirely different discussion. But it's interesting to hear that you think that Donald Trump would win. Do people in Britain actually talk about this, or is it mostly just the intellectuals or maybe the ones who follow international news?
No. American politics is discussed, you know, a lot in Britain. And obviously politics generally now is more discussed in Britain because we got more to discuss. Where the people in Britain are actually totally fed up with it is that it's taken over 3.5 years to actually get to this point. And don't forget, Brexit has still not happened. It should go through by the end of January, but then we have to actually negotiate the trade agreements with Europe. And that could take longer than a year, and that could go on for 2 or 3 years. So we're not really out of the woods yet here, and anything can happen. Going back to Trump, which is why in my blog last night I said we need to pray for him, is I am worried about his safety, Steve. I've got a feeling in my spirit that he's in danger, and we really do need to pray as Christians. And I know in your book, God and Donald Trump, you explained how the evangelical Christians actually helped him get into power. Well, they need to, and I'm sure they are, they need to pray for the man because he needs a lot of protection. And that's my big worry, actually, in my instinct. I just feel that he's at risk.
Well, you're wise to sound the alarm. And of course, we have had presidents assassinated. And while this is a little off topic, I believe that the assassination of John F. Kennedy set a whole lot of dominoes falling that have in some ways ended up with where we are today. And
well, I was at home on the Friday night in November when Kennedy, I was 10 years of age when Kennedy was shot. And it was a massive evening, and it changed the world. But, you know, Donald Trump is 73. I think he's 73 years of age. How does he's got the stamina of an 18-year-old, and I know he boasted having great health, but the man is under enormous pressure, and the man, how he keeps going, is a phenomenon.
It really is.
I think God's hand's on the man, you know.
I believe so, too, and believe there's a hedge of protection around him because there's a lot of people, of course, that want to take him out and how he even keeps from being discouraged. Of course, we don't know what goes on in his mind, but, you know, from all outward appearances, at the exact moment that on the television they were showing the impeachment vote going on with the split screen, he was in Battle Creek, Michigan, at a huge rally. Very encouraged, and he says something to the effect, well, it doesn't even feel like we're being impeached. You know, I mean, you know, he has this way of letting it run off his back. Of course, I know he knows that he's not going to be removed from office, but it's just like they're coming up with any little thing. And to cycle back to what we were saying about assassinations, you know, the Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated. Was it in Austria or Serbia or one of those countries?
Sarajevo.
Sarajevo.
Sparked the First World War, yeah.
It sparked First World War, which led to the Second World War, which led to the Cold War. You know, if it hadn't been the instability of the First World War, the Bolsheviks would have undoubtedly not won in Russia. And I mean, you can just, I've heard historians give lectures on this. And how would you think that the assassination of one politician, as tragic as it is, could have affected history as much as it did? But cycling back around to Donald Trump, your prediction is that he'll survive this and he'll go on to be reelected. When do you think the, or maybe you can't predict this, but and the same thing may go on in your country when Brexit finally happens, are the opposers of Brexit going to finally calm down? And do you think that the left here will finally calm down when Donald Trump prevails, or as some of them predict, will they just try to impeach him again on something else?
No, I think the left is falling apart. The Labour Party in Britain is falling apart, and the Democrats look to me like they're falling apart. I know Bloomberg is about to make a run for presidency, is he not?
He's announced, yes.
Yeah, and he's plausible because Bloomberg is a highly successful individual. He's a multi-billionaire, as we know. But I've got no doubt whatsoever that Donald Trump will go second term. And my only concern, as I say, is his safety and his health, you know, the man keeping it all up, because it's incredible. And look what he did in his foreign policy. He went out and shook the hand of Rocket Man in North Korea. You know, he's done some phenomenal things. You know, he's brokering peace. And they keep attacking him over the Russia connection. Well, what connection? There is no connection. And in this instance, on impeachment, nothing happened. Ukraine got their money from America. Nothing happened. It's unbelievable. It's much ado. Shakespeare said, he wrote a play, much ado about nothing.
I agree with you. It's like, you know, he did something that they didn't agree with, so they say he abused power. And then when he wouldn't cooperate with their farce of an inquiry, they said he was obstructing Congress. And one leading jurist over here said that if that becomes a standard, every president in our history could have been impeached. And if that becomes a standard, anytime the other party controls Congress and they don't like what the president did, they'll find something small that they can impeach him on, and then he's out of office. The irony that a lot of people don't know, even Americans, is that if Donald Trump is impeached, Mike Pence, the vice president, becomes president. If he were impeached, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, is next in line, according to our Constitution. And I don't want to be too cynical or a conspiracy, and I don't know what in the world they would impeach Mike Pence on, because he's squeaky clean. But it's just kind of ironic that the Speaker of the House could actually become president if certain things came into play. But I agree with you that it's probably not going to happen, but we need to pray. And that's one of the things I emphasize in my book, is people need to pray like never before. And the Bible tells us, of course, to pray for our leaders and those in government, that we can live quiet and peaceful lives. And a lot of things are very good in America, but this division in our country and just the constant onslaught in our news media gets very, very tiring. And it'd be nice if things could kind of calm down and go back to normal. So as we wrap up this podcast, I'll give you the last word.
Well, Steve, it's amazing that I think one thing about Donald Trump, which I did see in these last few years, is that I think God's hand has been upon him, and God actually has touched the man, because, you know, he was accused for his locker room behavior and all the stuff like that. But I think the man has genuinely changed. And I think people like Paula White have been a great influence on him in the White House. And you actually see a change in the man. And Mike Pence should also be celebrated, because he too has stood up for God. And these guys are going to get a bigger reward than they're getting now, when they're going to meet the Creator. And so my final word is, you know, God bless America. Thank you for having me on your show. And it's been a pleasure talking to you.
I so appreciate Martin Clark taking time to talk. He writes frequently for our website. I've done other podcasts. You can look up his other podcasts on the Charisma Podcast Network. I also interviewed his wife, Shanine. And when he sent out kind of an op-ed, I just was so fascinated by it, I wanted to do this podcast. So share this with your friends and stay tuned for another episode of The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.